Off the Ball, GAA.
So you've got Garrod O'Connor, you've got O'Mara, you've got really good players coming in, right? I mean, really good players, not just okay players.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. Off the Ball's Football Daily.
Welcome to Thursday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. On the way, we hear from new West Ham boss Graham Potter. Shamrock Rovers secure the signature of sought-after goalkeeper Ed McGinty, and Ipswich pip Everton to the signing of Jadon Philogene from Aston Villa. First up, Graham Potter says he's proud and privileged to be named as West Ham's new manager. He was confirmed this morning as Julen Lopetegui's successor and has already faced the media ahead of tomorrow night's FA Cup third round tie away to Aston Villa. Potter has signed the 2.5-year contract, and his appointment comes hours after West Ham ended Lopetegui's employment 6 months into a 2-year deal. Potter will be assisted by his former Brighton and Chelsea deputy Bruno Saltor and the recently departed Stoke manager Narcis Pelak. He's been out of work for 20 months after he was sacked by Chelsea, but Potter says West Ham feels like the right fit.
When you've had lots of time to think and you know in your head and you've gone through that process, sometimes it's a feeling and you know, it's a combination of lots of factors. As I said, it was the board's ambition, the board's sort of trust and belief in me. It was looking at the playing squads, it's looking at the academy, the work that Mark Noble does behind the scenes in there. I think the supporters, as I've said, passionate, knowledgeable, loyal, challenging, all that stuff. So when you add it all up, it's a massive club. This is a massive club. But it's a family club as well. So that appeals to me as well. I think I like that connection, I like that sense of fighting together. And then when you add all that up, it just made it a good feeling.
Potter blamed a lack of pre-season with Chelsea contributing to their poor start to the season that cost him his job at Stamford Bridge. He was asked this morning how well equipped he is to take over a struggling team midway through their season.
You benefit from experience and going through it. Every context is different. Every situation is different. But certainly having that experience of, okay, you haven't got that preparation time. That's the reality. You come in and you have to deal with what's ahead of you, and you go into it with open eyes. But the experience I've had has obviously helped, because I'm a bit wiser, and I've had the experience of what it looks like and what it feels like to go in at this time of the year. So I'll hopefully use that to my advantage. There's no right or wrong time. There's an ideal time, I guess, but sometimes when the opportunity comes up, you think, no, I've got to take it, and I want to take it, and I'm really, really, really looking forward to meeting the players, really looking forward to starting. Great week ahead, starting with Aston Villa away in the FA Cup third rounds. Brilliant.
Tottenham midfielder Rodrigo Bentancur has shared an update on social media after he was taken to hospital last night. The Uruguayan appeared to injure himself in attempting to head a ball early in last night's Carabao Cup semi-final win over Liverpool. It took more than 10 minutes for Bentancur to be stretchered off the pitch, and he was taken to hospital for tests. But in an Instagram post after midnight, he assured fans that all was well. Spurs won that first leg by a Lucas Bergvall goal to nil, and will attempt to defend that lead at Anfield next month. But Arne Slot and Ange Postecoglou had differing views on whether Bergvall should have been on the pitch for the goal, with the Liverpool boss feeling the Swedish teenager should have received a second yellow card for a challenge on Kostas Tsimikas.
Yeah, when I just walked in, I said, I was thinking, I think I saw Ange sitting here on Sunday, and I thought, oh, something happened, and I think Spurs weren't happy with a few decisions that were made on Sunday. And many people always say that this will eventually match up in the end of the season. I'm not one of them that believes that, because sometimes you can be unlucky in the season or you can be lucky in the season. Yeah, on Sunday a decision went against them. Maybe today a decision went in favour of them, which is, of course, very unlucky for us, because I've never felt that we were going to lose this game. Especially not after the first 15 to 20 minutes, because I did feel Spurs started the game better than us. But after that, in my opinion, we had most of the game control, played most of the game on their half, had much more ball possession. And then, a moment like this, yeah, if you go down to 10 for a few seconds against a very good, against a team that can play so good football like Tottenham can, It's far from ideal.
It's very hard at the moment. It's very confusing to understand certain elements of the game. Now, we've been told consistently the last few weeks, because I've been, you know, screaming at it from the sidelines, because a lot of teams have got away with a lot of fouls with us without bookings because the referee plays advantage. And we've been told consistently, if we play advantage, as long as it's not a cynical foul, then the player does not get cautioned. So that's been relayed to us on a weekly basis, because we feel like that's been happening. That was one of the things I was kind of, you know, bemoaning last weekend. There was, you know, certain players who just repeatedly were fouling. We were getting advantage, but no bookings. So that's what I'm talking about, is that I don't think... And I'm really surprised at how... What's the word I'm looking for? How people in this country are so easily letting the game change so much so quickly. It's changed more since VAR has come in, and I've been involved, I think, in the last 50 years. We never used to debate offsides. We never used to debate handballs. We never used to debate holding in the box. We never used to debate so many things. And it seems like, I mean, did everyone really love the announcement today? Did that give you real buzz about, you know, I mean, seriously. But now I'm, and again, look, I understand. My understanding of it is this is what the people want. That's what I keep getting told. I understand that. And I understand that, you know, we're not going to, VAR is going to be there. Technology is going to be a part of life. But it's like my wife and our kids, yeah? We know technology, but she limits screen time. Why? You know, we slow things down. I think we just got to be a bit careful about constantly, why do we want to change the game so much? And I know I'm going to be the old bloke in the stands who keeps shouting boo every time VAR, and I'll be the only one. But I just thought people would be a little bit more protective about the sanctity of the game. That's what I was talking about. Like, I wasn't criticising referees. I've never criticised. Like I said, I didn't think the decision was right, but it's just the way the game, I think there's a lot of confusion at the moment. That's my belief, that the game is changing on the basis of technology. And I'm saying, why isn't anyone, like, speaking up about it? Especially in this country who, you know, for all intents and purposes, you feel, you guys think you're custodians of the game. You've got a song that says it's coming home. This is your game. And yet it takes an Aussie from the other side of the world to be the one that's most conservative about changes.
At the minute, are those decisions like a lottery? Because it feels like on one day...
So my comments are fair and even playing ground. That's what they were about. So today, it advantaged us. Yeah? I wasn't saying that there was a vendetta against me or Tottenham when I spoke last week. That's not what my comments were about. It's just that, you know, and like I said, I could be on a lone crusade here, but I'm happy to do that. I'm happy to just be the lone voice of saying, just leave the game alone for a bit. Like, you know, even extra time now, you know, minutes added on there. We never used to talk about these things before. And yet now everything is changing. So that was my comment. So today, I can see why Arnie's would be very disappointed. If that was me, I'd be disappointed as well. But apparently they're the rules. So, yeah.
Shamrock Rovers have confirmed the signing of goalkeeper Ed McGinty from Oxford United. The 25-year-old kept 12 clean sheets during the season in which he was an ever-present while on loan at Sligo Rovers, whom he had left for Oxford in 2022. McGinty said his goodbyes to the Sligo fans in a social media post yesterday, saying that it was a pleasure to be part of John Russell's side. Derry City are in talks to sign Liam Boyce from Hearts. The 33-year-old has almost 200 career goals to his name, and according to the Daily Record, Boyce could link up with Derry for the start of pre-season training on Monday. The advent of full-time football at Drogheda has forced Adam Foley to leave the club. The 35-year-old scored 21 goals and provided 11 assists across three seasons with the FAI Cup holders. Foley's described his time at Drogheda as the best years of his life and says he's gutted to leave due to work commitments. Ipswich have nipped in ahead of Everton to sign Jaden Philogene from Aston Villa. A personal call from Kieran McKenna was believed to be the key in convincing the winger to swap Champions League football for a relegation battle. Philogene only rejoined Villa from Hull in the summer, but has managed just two starts in the Premier League this season. Ipswich will pay Villa £22 million plus add-ons for the 22-year-old. Philogene effectively takes the place of Chidoze Ogbeni, whose season was ended by an Achilles injury. Manchester City continue to smash the cash. They've agreed personal terms with 18-year-old centre-back Vitor Reis, who plays for Palmeiras in Brazil. He'll reportedly cost City around €40 million. Another young centre-back that could be heading to the Etihad is Abdelkadir Kuzunov. If not for a two-game suspension, the 20-year-old will be an ever-present for Lens in Ligue 1 this season. Should that deal go through, then Kuzunov would become the first ever player from Uzbekistan to play in the Premier League. Lens won around €35 million for Kuzunov. Enough, and City's January spending could exceed €150 million as they remain in talks to sign Omar Marmoush from Eintracht Frankfurt. The Egyptian striker has scored 18 goals in all competitions this season. And the Bundesliga club wants €80 million for a player that still has 2.5 years left on his contract with no release clause. Well, this week has been dominated by talk of potential departures from Manchester United. One player that is going to stay is Amad Diallo. The Ivorian winger has been United's best player in an otherwise forgettable season and has been rewarded with a contract that will run until 2030. He'd entered the final 6 months of his original contract, having been a deadline day signing from Atalanta in 2021. And Vitor Pereira has made his first signing as Wolves manager. Ivorian centre-back Emmanuel Agbadou joins from Rance in a €20 million deal, and he has signed a 4.5-year contract at Molineux.